Hello, this is Roy Thomas, and you're listening to the Power Cosmic Podcast.
That's right, friends. You've been waiting for the podcast that talks about the things you love. Well, go no further, because you've reached the Power Cosmic Podcast. Each week, legendary Comic-Con promoter Mitch Halleck of the Terrific Con and legendary finder of lost things John Cimino of Saturday Morning Collectibles at the Raynham Flea Market, booth A89 and 90, will talk about the stuff you love. Now sit back and talk about comics, TV, movies, toys, and more. It's the Power Cosmic Podcast.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Power Cosmic. There's no energy in that opening, but you could make up your own stuff. I'm the sick person on the other end of the microphone, Mitch Halleck. And then joining us from the snow-covered plains of Massachusetts is Mr. John Cimino. Say hello, John.
Hey, where was that place? Was it Bespin? Was the ice place?
Hoth. Hoth.
Yeah, right now I'm on planet Hoth.
Yeah. Maybe that's why I'm a little depressed right now, because I just can't stand this damn snow anymore. It's spring ahead was Sunday. We moved the clocks up, so we got longer daylight hours, and now I got snow again. And then, believe it or not, I actually saw a forecast for next week. There's going to be another snowstorm next Tuesday.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, next Tuesday?
Yeah, so that'll be, what, 4 snowstorms in 1 month.
It's the apocalypse.
It's just too much. It's too much.
I'm like you. I hate snow. I absolutely detest it. I live in Massachusetts. I hate. Let me just throw this out here. I hate the changing of weather. I hate the foliage. I hate the cold. I hate the whole freaking thing. Give me L.A. Give me California, or give me Florida. I'll take the earthquakes any day. I hate snow.
Wow, look at you, Mr. New England over there.
You usually get, Connecticut gets probably more snow, right?
Yeah, we do. I don't know. I used to like it when I was a kid. Then when my kids were little, they used to like going to play in it. But after that, you're done. I don't want to shovel it. I don't want to look at it. I don't want to walk in it. I hate it.
It's just in the way.
It's just in the way. Just like a lot of people, it's just in the way. I keep forgetting the topic that we're supposed to talk about. All right, you know what it is? I watched Jessica Jones 2. I finally watched it all. It took me a couple days. It took a while to get into it. But I liked it in the beginning because it started off with one of my favorite characters, and we mentioned him on the show before, one of the lamest of speed-based heroes, the Whizzer, makes an appearance on Jessica Jones.
The Whizzer?
The Whizzer is on Jessica Jones. His name is not Robert Frank, the one that was in the comic. He has a different name, but he does wear a yellow, a hoodie, and he's a fat guy, so it's kind of ironic that he is the Whizzer, because he tells her that he can only run when he's afraid, and she's like, well, you must not be that afraid, because, you know, just look at you. So, somebody's trying to kill him, and it's a whole story about how these people are building superhumans, and we learn the origin of Jessica Jones, and we find out about her family, and her friend Patsy Walker is trying to get superpowers. Because
Hellcat, right?
Yeah, because in the comics she becomes Hellcat, so yeah, they just...
I don't know if you know that, but Roy created Hellcat.
Well, I hope he got a paycheck, because...
He used Patsy Walker, because Patsy Walker was an old Marvel character.
I looked that up. I thought Steve Englehart created Hellcat.
No.
Okay.
Because it started the Cat. They were first called the Cat. Do you remember?
Yeah, she was called the Cat, and she was an associate of Hank McCoy when Hank McCoy made that serum and turned himself into the furry beast.
Right, okay. Hellcat is kind of an amalgam of a bunch of creators. That's like, yeah, Steve Englehart gets up, because he was writing the Avengers at that time, right?
Yeah, she came into the Avengers, correct.
Right, and it was Roy and somebody else, I can't remember, that made Patsy Walker into the Cat, which kind of gave her that suit, and then it kind of morphed into Hellcat. Because it's kind of funny, because when I was talking to Roy about that, Let me look at this right now. I got Rory's list of characters.
Well, no, Hellcat is the yellow. She wears a yellow costume with the blue mask and the blue claws. Right.
But then didn't she? Okay, let me.
And I could have swore she became Tigra, but people tell me I'm wrong about that.
Well, I'll tell you this. Tigra is a Rory character.
Okay.
Yeah, because, like, once again, Tigra is a Rory character. She was, but let me see. I have Rory's, specifically from Mr. Thomas. He sent me all his characters that he legally owns and all that stuff in DC and Marvel. And I'm going to look right now. Do we got Hellcat?
Yeah.
A, B, C, D, F, G, oh, no.
Wasn't she also called just The Cat at one point?
Yeah, she was first called The Cat.
And then she became Hellcat.
Or did The Cat become Tigra?
I thought the girl that was, in The Avengers, I thought she became Tigra. But that's not Patsy Walker. That's a different person. Anyway.
I think you're correct because...
This is riveting. People are like, what the hell? Why don't you just go look on Wikipedia, you two idiots, and figure it out.
Roy got Tigra. Roy has Tigra, but, I don't know. Because those characters changed a lot of shape during the years. You know, like I said, they're kind of pieces of other characters that they work on.
The point of it is, besides Jessica Jones, is I was trying to tell you about the Whizzer. Now, the Whizzer is an old World War II character who injects himself with mongoose blood and gets super speed from that, okay? There is a mongoose on the show, too. They do get elements. I have to give the people credit that write this show because... They pulled stuff that was so out there to connect it to the comics, and they did. Like I said, the Patsy Walker story, the Whizzer. But it did make me think about what were the lamest heroes ever, to come out of the Marvel House of Ideas, or even DC. Now, come on. Mr. Roy Thomas created a couple of those clunkers as well.
Oh, of course.
The 3D man comes to mind right away. That is one of the dumbest ideas for a character ever.
I think we talked about 3D man because I remember getting, he fights the Hulk in an issue. I think it was in the 240s. Don't kill me if I'm wrong on this, but because my mom got, I don't know if you remember this, but my mom got like a blanket and a pillow casing of the Hulk, and it was like a Marvel superhero thing back in the 70s, and it came with a comic in there. And the comic that was actually in there was Incredible Hulk 240-something, but he fights the 3D man. But what was so hilarious about that is the only thing that they could say about the 3D man when he's going to attack the Hulk, the cops behind him say, oh my God, look, he's taking three steps at one time.
I
can do that, but I ain't going to go fight the Hulk.
Yeah, that was the 3D man. He could do anything anybody could do except three times faster. Okay.
So I think that was written by Bill Mantlo, if I'm correct.
But it was originally a Marvel premiere. Marvel premiere and Marvel Spotlight were Marvel's like tryout books. They would like put some obscure creations in there. I'll give you some other ones that some of them were good. Some of them were like, no, this is a joke. Did you ever read the Western called Caleb Hammer?
No.
He was a Pinkerton. He was a detective, and they accidentally went to the wrong house and they killed his wife and kids. And he became like this like outlaw detective out in the Wild West. Now, I don't really like Western, so I didn't care. But I remember reading that one and going, that's not so bad. But Marvel Premiere also, we had Jack of Hearts. I used to like Jack of Hearts. I think I liked his costume.
I didn't mind Jack of Hearts. Jack of Hearts, because he appeared in the Hulk issue.
Yeah, he was around a lot. He was in, I got to say he was in Marvel 2-in-1 a couple times too. But I think he's dead. He got killed off. And then let's see, what are some of the other lame heroes that are out there? Remember the Great Lake Avengers? That was like a whole team of losers.
I actually like Mr. Immortal because he would die. That was his thing. Right? And then he would come back.
Oh, from the Great Lake Avengers?
Yeah, I thought that was...
And then I remember the flat man. The guy was just flat. Remember that?
Oh yeah,
he was just like he was like Mr. Yeah, he was like Mr. Fantastic, except he was just two dimensional. He was just flat. So, and then yeah, there was the big heavy fat lady, whatever her name was. Who else was on the West Coast Avengers? I mean the Great Lake Avengers. That was it.
By the way, I had to look this up when we were talking about Tigra. Yeah, she was the cat, and then she became. The Werecat, and then Werewoman, and her creators list as this: Stan Lee, John Romita Sr., Roy Thomas, Wally Wood, Tony Isabella, Gil Kane, Marie Severin, Dawn Perlman, and Linda Fight. So she was just a whole bunch of people.
Well, a whole lot of nothing, if you ask me. But right. Let's go back. So come on, let's think of some other lame-o heroes. That are out there that have actually gotten their own book. Rocket Raccoon's got to be the biggest lame-o in the world.
Who?
Rocket Raccoon.
Well, yeah, I know. Come on. Nobody thought that was going to be anything.
Oh, but it was a joke. I mean, it was a stupid one. It was a throwaway character in that Star-Lord comic where he meets him. And then he pops up in that Hulk. Ugh, the Hulk.
Wait a second, Mitch. What? Star-Lord was a friggin' joke, too.
Oh, yeah. Star-Lord was that heady Steve Englehart concept, and then Byrne went and redid it, and then they brought him back, and, you know, the character that's in the movie is nothing like the lame one that was in the book.
No, I mean, come on, did you ever pick up that issue and get a crap?
I'll tell you what, any book that had the old Guardians of the Galaxy in it was a lame book, okay? I mean, Charlie 27, we make fun of him and all, but... That team was just like, you couldn't get a bigger group of losers, really.
Oh, come on. Yeah, I agree.
Martin, the only cool one was the guy that was asleep for 1,000 years, Vance Astro, Captain America guy.
Yeah. And he had Cap Shield, didn't he?
Yeah, that was the only one I liked. The rest of them, Yondu with the bow and arrow, ugh. Yeah, it's painful.
Yeah, look at those old Marvel Presents, all those Defenders with, and then Starhawk was actually right.
Starfox and Starhawk. I hate them both.
Me too. I remember them on the Defenders comics, and you were like, "Who the hell are these losers?"
I'll tell you what. I think everybody in the Defenders comic books was a bunch of losers. The only good Defenders books they ever made, in my opinion, was the original stories that had. Doctor Strange, Submariner, Hulk, and Silver Surfer. Those were the best Defenders.
That's the Roy Thomas story.
Yeah, and after that, they were all crap. There was never a good Defenders story, ever. Ever. Then Nighthawk, remember Nighthawk? Kyle Richmond, he was part of the team. Sucked. He was supposed to be like Bruce Wayne. Nighthawk.
You didn't like Valkyrie?
I didn't like Nighthawk. Valkyrie was... Oh, yeah, that team. Let's see. Valkyrie, Nighthawk, Hulk. Who else was in there? Was there a magician?
They kept the Hulk there because he was so popular at the time, they wanted him in another comic.
How about, like, Dr. Druid?
Oh, my God. He was terrible.
Oh, God, yeah. But I'm saying they tried to make him a hero. Or do you know... You know who Dr. Droom is?
Yeah, Dr. Droom. Who's yeah.
That was Droom. I remember that. There's a litany of bad superhero ideas. That's why sometimes you get me crazy when you go, why doesn't Marvel come up with new heroes? They had that whole new universe to that whole line of heroes. That whole thing was a disaster.
Star Brand? Ugh.
Oh, the DS9? What was it?
DP7.
Then there was a Punisher type guy. Who?
Wait, remember the Strike Force Mortieri? Something like that?
Yes. Then remember the football one? Kickers?
I never picked any of that shit up.
I got some of the graphics.
Kickers Inc., though, Mitch. Kickers Inc.
Kickers Inc. And I'll tell you what. All these books were thrown out there. I bet they're number one on the Matt Herring Hit Parade. Bet he loves these things. Because you would read these books and go, who reads this crap?
Well, the thing is I was collecting comics at that time, and I remember the advertisements of those things, and I never cared. What about Nth Man? There's another one for you.
Oh, the Nth Man? N-T-H-M-A-N? There was... Oh, no, forget the Nth Man. What's the other one? Oh, the 80s were a perfect time for crappy heroes. I'll tell you that.
Let me give you a question here. What do you think was worse, the 80s or the 90s?
The 90s. Yeah. Oh, no, the 80s was a mini golden age of comics until like 87. You know? Because you had a lot of great stuff coming out in the 80s. And then once 87 came, it all blew up. It fell apart.
And then the 90s, when everything became mass-produced.
The 90s was crap. I can't think of one good book that came out in the 90s.
I agree. And let's throw Image under the bus.
Oh, we were just talking about, before the mic went off, because the power of bad comic books is so bad it turned the power cosmic off for some reason. You were talking about the 80s and 90s. We said the 90s was the worst time in comic books history. And you said the flagship producers of those horrible comics, in your opinion, John Cimino, was Image Comics.
All those characters, atrocious. All of them.
Not one good character came out of that.
But the worst was Shadowhawk. And but Valentino's art was so
bad. Oh, is it Jim Valentino?
Yeah, it was Valentino.
Now, Valentino also did the Guardians of the Galaxy for Marvel in the 90s, too, so...
Yeah, which you liked and which was absolutely...
I liked the earlier ones when they were the quest for Captain America's shield, but I gave up on that book after a while, too. Yeah, break. Taserface. Oy. He's in that book. He's in the first issue. One of the dumbest names in history. Taserface. Oh, yeah, let's look. Image. Everybody was buying Image. And the thing about it is that the artwork was so good, but the stories were so bad. You know?
Ugh, horrible.
I'm trying to think. Wetworks hated it. Wildcats hated it.
All that Youngblood crap.
I didn't mind Savage Dragon. I liked that for a while.
Horrible.
Youngblood Prophet. What was some of the Liefeld ones? Youngblood? He did a Captain America character, didn't he?
Yeah, was it the Shield?
Was it the Shield? I remember he drew something that was supposed to look like Captain America. It was horrible.
Oh, what about your boy Supreme? He's another one for you.
Supreme? You mean from...
Yeah, your character, Supreme.
Oh, yeah, that's a Liefeld. Yeah. And I was thinking of that one that came out with Robert Kirkman in the last couple of years. Just wrapped up. Ryan Otley was the artist on it. Invincible. That's that book. That's a different book. But, no, Image has... They became the source for better comics over the years, but that original run, oy. Are those books worth anything? Do you get people coming up to you?
Said you, Mitch.
Well, do you sell any of those old... remember they had the variants? They were the king of the variants. Remember that? Gold. What was the most valuable Spawn book? Wasn't there like a gold cover?
The one that's actually getting a little play is the one with Angela, the number 9, I think.
Oh, yeah. That's a Neil Gaiman character, right?
I think so. Something like that.
Well, she's in Marvel now. Somehow she's back into Marvel in the Guardians of the Galaxy. Angela. Yeah, she was a... An angel that she was like, Spawn was the devil. And then the whole thing with the Violator and the clown and Sam and Twitch. Remember all that? He was a child molester. The clown was.
I remember when those hit the shelves. I looked at them and I was like, garbage. And people ate them up, though. Got to give them.
Well, it was a mass marketing campaign. They had the toys, the comic books. There was a movie. There was an HBO show eventually in the 2000s or The 90s?
See, I hated all those artists. Even in those 90s, that's when I was already starting to lose the taste in my mouth. All those 90s, I didn't like McFarlane. I didn't like Liefeld. I didn't like Larson. I didn't like all those guys. I hated them. I'm not going to say they weren't popular and people loved them. I won't take away that, but I just never did. I was kind of already getting out of comics. I was like, it just wasn't the same. You know, the heydays from, like, those the late 70s, the 80s, like, those were great. But then I could just see that slick paper. And everybody was a knockoff of either Wolverine, like, Captain America.
Ripclaw. Ripclaw. That was their version of...
Ripclaw.
Yeah.
Hey, but who am I to talk? Didn't Liefeld just sign like a $40 million?
He did. He signed it with Netflix. They're going to be making Ripclaw, the TV show.
Yep. Oh, my God. It was just... But see, my problem with that is that is when art started dictating the comics. It wasn't story-driven anymore, and you would have these splash pages of just, like, you know, tons of text, and then just these, like, this, you know, this gratuitous women and huge action scenes. It was just... And I hated all that art. I'll throw this one at you, too. I wasn't even the biggest Jim Lee fan, either. And then all the knockoffs you got, too, that everybody that tried to draw like those people. Come on, you didn't like Rob Liefeld's faces, those wrinkled faces and every with a million teeth?
No. I'm looking online to see... Oh, here we go. All right, I'm going to throw some names at you. I just clicked on the 27 lamest heroes and villains ever. Let's see if you agree. Okay, coming in. Jubilee. I don't think Jubilee's that bad. You? Jubilee from the X-Men.
Yeah, I know that's a Jim Lee character. She was okay. She was annoying, but she was a 90s kid. I, as much as I hated a lot of the stuff came out, I don't think she's one of the lamest.
How about Vibe? DC character created by Jerry Conway. First Puerto Rican superhero.
Vibe? Hey, and I'm Hispanic. Last thing I wanted to see is a Spanish superhero.
All right. We mentioned NFL Super Pro. That's on the list.
That was horrible. But, I mean, they did that for licensing purposes.
Dr. Spectro. I don't know. That's a DC. Squirrel Girl. I don't know. Squirrel Girl's a Steve Ditko creation. Ditko.
Yeah. Says, she's ridiculous.
Created Marvel Superheroes Special Volume 2, number 8. Lady Stilt Man. Well, the Stilt Man is bizarre. Joe Kelly came up with Lady Stilt Man. Why? We don't know. Their powers. What are their powers? They get to telescopic legs, right? That's it. The Wizard comes in at number 20. That's my boy, the Wizard. Bitten by a mongoose. The Almighty...
Mongoose was in 4, wasn't he?
What?
Mongoose? Did you say mongoose?
Yeah, no, the mongoose, a real thing bit the guy. The Fiddler, don't know what that is. Oh, there's the Bouncing Boy, one of my favorites, created by Jerry Siegel and Jim Mooney. Big fat kid. The Defenders has Walrus. Know him? J.M. DeMatte has created that guy. Here's a good one. This is a great one. Ulysses Solomon Archer, a.k.a. US-1. Al Milgram and Herb Trimpe.
Yeah, I do remember US-1.
Truck driver. He was a truck driver. Aqualad, really?
I don't think Aqualad was that bad.
Cypher from the New Mutants. He can speak a bunch of languages.
Whatever.
Nobody cares. Asbestos Lady. She fought the Human Torch. How about Doll Man? Yeah, I always thought Doll Man was pretty stupid. He shrinks down to the size of a doll. Prodi? What the frig is that? It's a shape-shifting blob. Arm fall-off boy. Codpiece. Not even going to talk about that. Jin Genie. You know who Jin Genie is?
No.
X-Force, created by Mike Allred and Peter Milligan. Okay, don't know. Ice Cream. X-Men versus the Obnoxio the Clown. Matter-eating lad is the number one. See, that's not so bad. I've thought of worse ones than this.
Who is number one?
Matter-eating lad. from the Legion of Superheroes.
Well, I know the Legion of Superheroes had a ton of really lame stuff coming out of that.
Oh, there's a whole section of 90s. Oh, you got it. It says the most top 10 most asinine 90s comic book characters. Oh, we got to look at this.
Give it to me.
Because I'm going to bet you we know where they come from, the House of Ideas. Okay, starting off with, all right, let's see. Adam X, the Extreme, worst 90s X-Men character ever. He was basically a punk rocker. Never heard of him. Oh, Adventures of Superman's up here. Maxima, the redheaded, like, pro wrestler.
She's just like a tough woman.
Yeah.
She kind of reminded me of, like, a Thundra. Like,
yeah, that's exactly what it is. Ripoff. The Neo. X-Men bad guys. The Neo. You don't remember that?
I don't have an idea.
Vengeance. He was Ghost Rider's enemy. He drove a motorcycle, too.
Awful.
Spirit. You remember that one. Warrior from the Green Lantern book. Oh, Kane was a Cable and Deadpool villain. Kane, K-A-N-E. Not to be confused with the other Kane who was in the Spider-Man clone thing. Dreadlocks. She was in the Secret Avengers. No. Shriek was one of the worst Spider-Man villains ever, was in the Maximum Carnage storyline. The Game Master, really? Oh, the one that was just in the movies? Who came up with the whole Contest of Heroes? The guy, Jeff Goldblum, played him in the Hulk Ragnarok movie.
No, that's the Grandmaster.
Oh, they said, the Game Master, okay.
Grandmaster, the Elder of the Universe. Those are pretty cool.
The lamest heroes in the 90s was the Red Superman and the Blue Superman.
You want to know something, Mitch? Throw Superman on there.
Snowflame, a cocaine-fueled supervillain of 1988. I don't remember that. It was all about DC made a character. I'm going to ask Ordway about this one. It was the guy was all coked out.
Well,
oh my God, he got his superpowers from taking copious amounts of cocaine upon getting high.
Wait, Ordway created that guy?
No, it came out the 88 DC characters, and Ordway was working there, so I'm going to ask him if he knows what the story is with this.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. There's a fair share of horror, more horrible than good.
Oh my God, he screams, "Cocaine is my God." I'm not kidding you. I'm looking at it. What the? Who? What were they thinking? Well, they were coked out of their mind. He fought Batman. Oh my God, Ordway drew this. That's Ordway's art.
He was probably scared when he was drawing
that. Wolverine fought a mountain of cocaine in one issue. What was going on? I had no idea that coke was all over the place in these books. Who knew?
Oh, Mitch, of course it was.
Hal Jordan gets high on magic mushrooms in 1973. Did you know that?
Which one?
1973, Green Lantern gets high off of magic mushrooms.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Captain America does ice and then goes bonkers. Mark Gruenwald, awesome Streets of Poison from 1990. Captain America is accidentally exposed to a super-powered amphetamine known as ice and bonds with the super soldier serum in his bloodstream. Cap goes on a rampage beating the crap out of Daredevil. He's high as a kite. Thor gets dosed with ecstasy. And he's Lorelei. Okay. Arsenal is a heroin addict who saves a dead cat. Don't know what that's about. Tintin gets gassed. A lot of drugs going on here. The Beast does uppers and causes the apocalypse.
The Beast, yeah.
Wolverine gets a load of hallucinogenic haze and starts killing people. Wolverine becomes possessed by a sentient cocaine. In 1990, Wolverine learns the drug dealers are distributing cocaine that gives users superhuman strength. He tracks down the Coke source to South America, where he learns that an accident cosmic entity known as Spore is infecting humans via cocaine. The villain doses Wolverine with evil primordial Yayo, and his healing factor fights off the entity, the Spore, later on. Blah, 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 blah. And, of course, Abby Cable eats Swamp Thing's psychedelic yam. Okay, now hold on. Before we wrap this one up, did you know about this thing? During the Alan Moore run of Saga of the Swamp Thing, heroine Abby Cable falls in love with the Swamp Thing, but his vegetable physiology prevents them from making whoopee. Instead, he offers her a yam from his body. This magic tuber allows her to see the world as he sees it. Turns out that the Swamp Thing is tripping and orgasming 24/7. Don't get me wrong, it's an awesome moment, but it's also a hoot that Swamp Thing sees the world as wavy gravy. Check out the colors. Well, apparently the Swamp Thing is tripping 24 hours a day. I did not know that.
Wavy gravy?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I never cared about Swamp Thing.
Well, this Green Lantern book was Neil Adams. I could tell by the artwork. 1973, Flash backup story, The Powerless Power Ring. The Green Lantern goes camping and makes himself some of Green Arrow's famous chili. Unfortunately, a mushroom cannery in the DC Universe accidentally delivered psilocybin to the grocery store. Hal must then save a rock climber while tripping balls. I'd blame his can enlightenment on noted supervillain Stoner the Florinic Man. But I'm like, so apparently he was on mushrooms. Wow. I tell you, this Roy Thomas and his little druggy friends, man. I don't know. The Flash does Angel Dust and beats up the Justice League in 1979. The Flash accidentally is exposed to Angel Dust. And while tripping, he beats up the Justice League. Wow, a lot of weird shit going on, man. See? See? And we're stuck inside here in the snowstorms. Meanwhile, Harry Osborn was taking pills and jumping off the side of a building.
I thought it was his friend.
Oh, that's right. It wasn't Harry. It was the other kid. Harry just had the headache with all the pills everywhere. That stuff scared me. I didn't want to take drugs because I'd walk around with, one, Harry Osborn's bad haircut. What was that? What was the Osborn haircut? I don't know. Was it like an afro like hair? Is that what he had? Like an afro?
It had waves, though. It had waves.
I don't know what it was, that hair. Because him and his dad had the same cut, but it was cut like at the sharp angle.
Yeah, so Johnny Ramita Jr., I mean Senior, had to be responsible for that head of hair because he designed the character.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, but I never understood what the hair was supposed to be like.
No, but that would be an interesting question to ask him.
Yeah, it never looked right. I just don't understand. Was it supposed to be wavy or curly hair? Or
have you ever seen anybody with that type of hair?
No. That's a unique Harry Osborn and Norman Osborn trait. I don't know what that was, but it would bug me, though. That would bug me, that hair.
Are you at your computer? Why don't you look at that online? Because that's got to be the lamest hair.
Well, J. Jonah Jameson's mustache has always bothered me. Like, didn't he realize it looked like a Hitler stash the whole time? Who grows that mustache right in the middle of their mouth like that? Their lip.
Yeah, you can't do that anymore.
No, not anymore. I don't think you could do it back then. Oh, my head hurts. I don't know. What else? Aunt May with the hair bun. Dr. Octopus, fat pig, right?
Well, what, his hair?
No, well, his hair's got that bowl cut, but he's basically a fat guy, right?
Yeah, scientist.
You think so? I was going to say Mysterio. Lame hero or lame villain or not?
No, I would say no, because it kind of fit like he was an illusionist guy.
His name was not Spencer Beck. It was Quentin Beck.
God, not Spencer
Beck. Quentin Beck was the Mysterio. But he just had a fishbowl over his head, you know?
Yeah, but you couldn't see inside it, though, like, you know?
But he was clever. He's the reason why Kraven the Hunter kills himself, isn't it?
What?
There was some story where Kraven the Hunter and Mysterio is the one that made him, like, shoot himself in the head, I think.
I don't know about that. It's all blurring
into each other. I'll tell you who's got some lame-ass villains. The Hulk. Remember the Bi-Beast?
I like the Bi-Beast.
With the two heads?
Yeah.
Hammer and Anvil?
He was an android.
No, I'm talking about the other two guys. Remember Hammer and Anvil? They were chained together. They were like convicts.
Yeah, but what was interesting about that is that they were both racist. Like, and they had to be together. Like, the black guy was racist against white people, and the white guy was racist against black people, and they were together. And I don't know if you know this, but Cracker Jack Jackson, that the Hulk ends up being with in that issue, was Hammer, the black guy. I can't remember if he was Hammer or Anvil, but that was his nephew.
Cracker Jack Jackson's the one that gave Hulk beans.
Yeah, he was the first guy, and he taught the Hulk how to spell.
Why did he get his own book? Why don't we see the adventures of Cracker Jack Jackson?
Well, because he died in that issue. He only had one issue.
But I'm just laughing at the thought they brought everybody else back. If they could bring Bucky back, they could bring back Cracker Jack Jackson. We're going to start a
Cracker Jack Jackson.
Start a campaign.
If you saw him, he looked like he was from Vaudeville.
Oh, my God. That's too funny. Oh, boy. I can't breathe.
Cracker Jack Jackson was created by, that was Len Wein, right?
Yes, he was, Len Wein. You know who's another, creepy person with weird hair? Rob Bruce. Let's get that.
Weird hair, weird skin, weird teeth, everything.
He was on Comic Book Men this week. Made me laugh. He sold some jigglers. When's the last time you saw a jiggler?
Wait a second. Rob Bruce is the only guy that had yellow eyes like friggin' the Hulk on the cotton.
Oh, boy.
Is that like an iron deficiency?
I think so. I think it means you got like meningitis or jaundice or malaria. Oh. Oh, boy. He's got malaria. Oh, my head.
The funniest thing Robert Bruce ever said, and I don't even think he was trying to be funny, is when I saw him at a show. It was like 2 years ago. And he lost some weight. And I go, Robert, you lost some weight. I go, you exercising? He goes, no. It's been some stress.
It's because of stress?
Yeah, because of stress.
Oh, God.
Oh, it's so funny. Oh. And I was, I don't think he meant to be funny, but it's so funny.
He was trying to sell jigglers this week on Comic Book Men. What's a jiggler? A jiggler is just a little rubber guy, right? That's all.
Yeah, they're like, when they had the rubber band string attached to it, so like you could hang it up. But the thing was, is you would like, it was almost like, you know, you just shake it up and down and it jiggled.
Yeah, but who wants it? What are you gonna do with that? What the frick do you do with that? Nothing.
No, right. I mean, they were just stupid little... You got to remember, Ben Cooper wasn't for quality. It was just pumping that stuff out there. Like, they were just... And if you looked at the Batman and the Superman and the Hulk and the Spider-Man and the Thing and the Red Skull and the Doctor Strange that they made...
Yeah.
Yeah, those were all just... If you look at them, like, they were cheap. But you saw them everywhere. Like, you want to know something funny about a jiggler? I can remember every kid on my neighborhood having one in his basement, whether it was a Batman or... I remember, like, a bunch of kids had that. Because like, they were so cheap, too. They were, like, only, like, 50 cents.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I don't know. I do remember that stuff a little bit. What was I going to say about jigglers? No. Oh, Luke Cage showed up. Mike Coulter was on this week's episode. He went and bought a issue 50, a first appearance of Power Man and Iron Fist, the first time they get together. Issue 50. Guess how much Walt tried to sell it to him for?
How much?
$30. That's not bad.
Let's remember something. Do you remember when Power Man and Iron Fist were in the junk box?
Oh, God, yeah. They were in a bargain bin. You couldn't give those books away.
Like, those books were in the, like, you could probably get the whole run of Power Man and Iron Fist.
For
like,
$20.
Not even. Now, back then, I $5, you get the whole thing.
So the thing of it is, he didn't pay the $30. He ended up just autographing some Cage number ones for him, and walked out. But $30, I thought that was cheap.
Because they're so hot now, that probably book goes for about
$50. Well, yeah. And the question was, what do you call him? Do you call him Luke Cage or do you call him Power Man?
Well, obviously his name was Power Man, and he won the, because I don't know if you remember, the Power Man that was, he first appeared in Avengers, remember that guy, Power Man?
Oh, the guy in the purple, I'm thinking of Wonder Man, right?
No, the brown costume.
Oh, no, there was a brown, yeah, there was a Power Man, yeah.
But the reason why Power Man got named that is they fight each other in one of the Power Man storylines. In the 70s, and Power Man Luke Cage beats him, and he claims the name Power Man. He beats him up. And so that's why he was always considered Power Man. But I like Luke Cage better, if you ask me.
And then they changed the name from Heroes for Hire, right? Hero for Hire?
Yeah, but it was, yeah. But that's what he was about. Like, you know.
Oh, I know, but I thought that was the subtitle of his book, though. It was Luke Cage, Hero for Hire.
Right, and I thought that song, that was actually kind of pretty cool.
Yeah. But Iron Fist, though, I don't know. I never liked Iron Fist. I tried reading it. I can't stand him.
I'll tell you why I liked Iron Fist as a kid. Because I liked the tattoo, and I liked his eyes. He reminded me of Spider-Man. Remember his eyes?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why. You got to remember, when these guys first appeared on the scene, I really couldn't read comic books. You took superheroes at face value. And if they looked cool, I liked them, you know? That's why I always loved Black Panther back in the day. Like, I always thought Black Panther, before he got more vibranium stuff going on, I always thought he looked like a cool character.
Yeah. I hear you. All right. We got nothing. I got nothing on this show. This was just getting one out the door today.
Yeah. Me and Mitch are depressed because of the snow. We feel like Robert Bruce right now.
It's episode 88 of the Power Cosmic Podcast. 68 episodes farther than Matt Herring ever predicted, you know?
Yeah, and we're still going.
And 88 hours or more of Scott Martin's life given to this. Why? We got to come up with a new Scott. We need a new Scott Martin. I nominate Stuart Greenberg as our new Scott Martin. We're going to call him. We'll stop picking on Scott.
You want to go with Stuart?
We could go with him or Chris. There's only like 3 people that listen to this show. Even though I get the download numbers, there are a lot more people, but I wonder if it's just me hitting it again and again. Oh, my God.
All right, Mitch, we're dragging. Right.
That's that.
And that's that.
Oh.
This has been a production of Big Fedora Marketing, LLC, the folks that bring you the terrific Comic-Con, GamerCon, and so much more. Thanks for listening.